Now it's fitting for us to talk about missions and the Great Commission right after Easter, because it was right after Easter that Jesus gave the commission, the command to those disciples, and then sent the power of the Spirit of God to equip them to do the task that he called them to do. So we're going to read the Great Commission. Actually, the Great Commission is five times in the New Testament the Great Commission is given, which is a reminder to us of how important it is. How important it is. This is Matthew 28, and I'm going to read beginning with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This last chapter of Matthew 28, gives the account of the things that were happening right after the resurrection. We know that on the first day of the week that the women went to the tomb there thinking they were going to minister to the body of the Lord. But this text says there had been an earthquake and the angel descended from heaven and rolled the stone away. And the stone was rolled away not so that Jesus could get out, but so that everybody could see he wasn't there. That's why the stone was rolled away. It wasn't holding him back. The stone was rolled away and the angel sat on it, and the brightness of the countenance of the angel caused the guards to be so astonished that they appeared like dead men. They were so overwhelmed by what had happened. They were shaking and were overwhelmed like dead men. And then the Lord spoke to those women and said, Fear not, he's not here, he's risen. Go quickly and tell the other disciples, he's not in the grave any longer, but he's alive. The Bible says that they had the mix of emotions. They had fear and joy at the same time. Fear and joy at the same time. They were overwhelmed with the miracle, but yet they realized they were hearing this wonderful announcement from this angel. They ran to find the disciples. They meet Jesus on the way and kneel at his feet and worship him. And Jesus then gives them the instruction, go to the other disciples and tell them I'm alive. Let them know I'm alive. Now those same guards that had been so shocked and astonished by what they saw, they decided to go to the chief priest and to give the chief priest the report of what had happened. And the chief priest was a dirty politician. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of dirty politics. Ugh. Dirty politics. I don't care who it is or what party it is. Dirty politics is horrible. But these guards, they came to the chief priest. Now, if there's anything worse than dirty politics, it's the mix of dirty politics and religion. You really have a mess there. And it says that they gave those guards money and told them, lie about what you saw. You saw the stone rolled away. You saw that angelic being, but don't tell anybody about it. They paid them money, hush money. And they said, if the governor hears about it, we're going to lie to him too and deceive him. This is all happening right after the resurrection. Jesus told the disciples, go to Galilee and wait there. And there, then we go right into the book of Acts, chapter 1. 50 days later, they're there and they have that encounter with the resurrected Lord. And his last words to them as he is ascending into heaven was to go to Jerusalem and wait there, tarry until you're endued with power from on high. And that power was going to come to them to give them what they needed to proclaim the gospel. Now we are called, and this month of April is Missions Month, and so we are, hopefully, we are a missions-minded church. That's an important thing to me, a missions-minded church. I was raised up in a church. I told you about our pastor that I sat under those years. Every year, when I was a kid, it was the last weekend of February. They had a weekend that was a missionary convention, and the missionaries would come in, and it was a big event at the church every year. And so those things, those seeds were sown in my heart when I was just a kid. And ever since I have been a pastor, it was true in the church in Oklahoma, it's been true here, that this has been something we wanted to emphasize. And we wanted to encourage the church. I know the church, long before I was here, the church has always supported missionaries. I understand that. But I wanted to make a big deal about it, because it's important to God, and it is important that we understand how important this great commission is. He gives to them the commission and tells them, I'm giving you the power you need, all power, all authority that you need. Jesus is now resurrected from the dead. He has the power and the authority. He earned it by going to the cross and being victorious over death. And now he has the power and the authority to send forth those disciples. And he gave to them the Great Commission. The Great Commission was not just for those early church disciples, but it's for everyone that ever comes to the Lord and gets saved. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be called to be a full-time missionary. But you are called to obey the Great Commission. Amen. And for our church here locally, that the Lord would help us to be missionary minded, that would be something that was on our hearts, and that we would not see it as just something incidental that we do, not just another thing that we do, but we recognize this is a part of the mission that has been given to us. It is a co-mission with the Lord. It's the same ministry that Jesus had when he came into the world. Jesus was sent into this world, and then he said, just as I was sent in this world, so now I am sending you into the world. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Amen. And Jesus understood his mission. And all of us, we need to understand we have a mission from God. Every one of us. We have a calling. We have a mission. Every individual in this group here tonight, you have the call of God upon your life. Amen. You have the call of God, and you need to understand what your mission is. Jesus knew what his mission was, even when he was 12 years old. Remember in the temple when he said, I've got to be about my Father's business. He understood what his purpose was, what his calling was. And then at the end of his life, when he's on the cross, and his last words are, it is finished. He wasn't talking about my life is over. When he said it is finished, he was saying my mission is completed. I have completed my purpose for living. Amen. Now his mission is our mission. His mission is our responsibility to fulfill the same thing. As Christians, every one of us, we should live our life with that mission on our heart, that great commission that we are to obey and we are to respond to the call of God. And so every year maybe many times throughout the year, we're reminded of this great commission and the responsibility that we have to those that do not know the Lord. Amen. It is a command from the Lord. It is a commission from the Lord. And we bear responsibility for the lost people that we come in contact with. Every one of us, we have our little, you know, our little range, our little sphere of influence, those that we rub shoulders with. Your neighbors are not necessarily my neighbors, but you have contact with them. Your family are not mine, but they're yours. People that you work with, people that you do business with. It may not be the same people as me, but all of these people that are in the realm or the sphere of your touch, your influence, we have a responsibility to them to share the gospel and to live it before them, to be a living testimony before them. Ezekiel 3 and 18, the prophet Ezekiel says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." And so with the Great Commission comes great responsibility. We are responsible for lost people in our world. Amen. And that's a big responsibility. But not only is it responsibility to be missions minded, it is a privilege. Amen. Because we're able to be a co-worker. We are, 2 Corinthians 6 and 1 says, we are workers together with him. We are working for God and we're workers together. We are working to accomplish this great task of reaching people, telling people. What a privilege it is to tell people how to prepare for eternity. What a privilege that it is to let people know. I'm going to tell you, people die hopeless. People die without God. Every day, people are dying without the knowledge of the Lord. Every day, they are facing eternity and standing before God in judgment. And you and I, we have the privilege of giving them hope for eternity. Peace to know that they can come to the end of their life with peace and understanding that when I end this life, I'm going to step into the presence of the Lord. Praise God. What a privilege it is. Also there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are ambassadors, it says. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. That's our calling. And I know that the church has a broad ministry and a lot of different ministry and opportunities that we have, but we need to keep in mind, we need to be missionary minded every day and wherever God puts us, to realize that we have a responsibility to those that are lost. The best use of your life is to spend it for something that will outlast your life. Amen. That would be the best use of your life and your time. And doesn't matter if you're a young person or an old person. It doesn't matter the days that you have left before you. None of us know how much time we have left in this life, but you can use what time you have to make a difference in the life of somebody. Amen. Amen. To invest in the lives of people and to let them know they can be ready for eternity. And remember, I've said this a lot of times, there's only a couple of things that really are eternal. We know the Word of God is eternal, so you can invest in God's Word. And the other thing that's eternal is just people. The souls of men are going to live on. And so why do we waste all of our time on temporal things that are passing away? We get all caught up in the temporal, in the temporary. What about the things that have eternal value, like the Word of God and the souls of men? Amen. The best use of your life is to spend it for something that outlasts your life, to invest in the souls of men. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, folks, the night is coming. I mean, on the horizon right now, we can see that the Lord is coming soon, and the close of this age is so close. And many of the things that you've heard about, read about, and all the conflict and everything that's going on in the Middle East, all of these things, no doubt, are pointing to the end of this age, and that Jesus is coming really soon. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. It is a privilege, it is a blessing to be involved in the Great Commission, certainly. But it's also, we need to understand that we have a limited amount of time and we need to be busy. Amen. So ask yourself the question. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, it doesn't matter. Whatever days you have left, ask yourself, God, how can I be used in this great commission? How can I be used in this great commission? Use me, Lord, to reach somebody. What's so amazing now is we live in a world now that the other side of the planet is accessible to us. Now, in this internet age, this electronic age that we live in right now, the other side of the world is accessible to us almost immediately. And actually, you can travel to the other side of the world and leave in the morning and be there by night. We live in a fast-paced age, and it's possible to do more for the Lord than you could ever imagine if we'll use our time for something that really matters for eternity. What does it mean to be missionary-minded? To be missionary-minded. Well, just a couple of things here. We live in a world that's very self-centered. If we're not careful, that's how our life is going to be lived out. All about us, all about our needs, all about our problems, all about what's going on in our little world. If we're not careful, that's the self-centered life that we live, but that's not the life that God has called us to. The mission that we're to have is for not self, but for others. Others. 8.2 plus billion people that live on this planet, and so many of them do not know the Lord. You know who thinks about themselves? Little children think about themselves. You can expect little children to be self-centered, selfish, and then to grow out of it. But as Christians, we need to grow up and be mature and recognize that it's not about us, it's about the world that's in such desperate need. Amen. To be mission-minded is to be others-minded instead of self-minded, self-centered. To be mission-minded is to think, instead of thinking locally, think globally. Now, there's nothing wrong with being concerned about those that are lost in our community, and we should. But as I've already said, we can get interested in the needs of people all around the world. I've made this recommendation to you before, and I encourage you. I know probably everybody here has access to the internet, and you probably go on the internet regularly. Just go to Operation World. Do you have that, Brother Darrell? Operation World. Go to that website. Every nation in the world is listed in Operation World on that website. There's also a book called Operation World. Every nation of the world. It tells you everything about the nation. It tells you about what religions they are, what the circumstances are in that country. And then it gives you suggestions on how to pray for that nation. And it's a wonderful tool just to go. I went there earlier today, and today's prayer country is China. And several pages giving the information about the needs of, you see, I'm just going through this because I just want to remind you that we have global access now. You can know information about people all around the world, and you can pray, and we know there's no distance in our prayers. Praise God. Get interested in the needs of the world. I'm concerned about our city of London. I'm concerned about Laurel County. I'm concerned about the spiritual needs of our community. But not only that, I'm concerned about the needs all around the world. I've been thinking a lot and praying about the great situation in Iran. Let me tell you, folks, the Iranian people are not our enemy. They are not. There's 92 million people in Iran, and there's over a million believers there in that country where they are at risk of losing their life if they just meet in a worship service. That's why they meet mostly just a few in homes, because they have to do it privately, secretly, under threat of their life. But over a million Christians in the country of Iran there. Sure, there's a regime there that's evil and murderers, and I understand that. Those that are in control there, they recently, those that were trying to raise up against this regime, they murdered 45,000 of them on the streets of Tehran. That's how wicked they are, just because they were standing up against that evil government. But we need to be concerned about the needs of a country like Iran and pray that God would send revival and pray that the door would open and somehow so that the gospel could be there. And you can pray about that. You say, I can't do much. I'm just at home and I can't really do all that much. Oh, yes, you can. You can every day pray for these different nations of the world. Call upon the Lord. You can allow the Lord to give you a global vision for people. And that's what Missions Conference does. When we hear about Germany and we hear about Papua New Guinea and we hear about Africa and these different nations of the world, it helps us to enlarge our vision and realize we're not to live in our little world only concerned about our little needs. We're to be concerned about the needs of the world. Amen. You can be mission-minded if you are more globally minded instead of just local. Get interested in the needs of others. Acts 17, 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That means that God knows everyone that's living on this planet. He knows where they are, where they live. He knows about their lifespan, their times, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Amen. Pray. Amen. The most amazing thing is when you read all the stories of how that God has given to many Muslims dreams of Jesus coming to them, and dreams of Jesus on the cross, and they're having these dreams where they can't have access to the Bible, access to a preacher, access, and God is dealing with these nations that are in such darkness. God, help us to have a global vision. Amen. Missions-minded person is, he doesn't have excuses, but instead he looks for creative ways that he can be involved. Amen. How can I be involved? How can I do something? How can I do that? You can do it through offerings, certainly. And I encourage you, whatever you have given to missions in the past, if you're able, do more this year. Do more. And expand it. And invest in people around the world. Amen. And see your heart follow after that money. Whenever you invest in people around the world, be creative in ways that you can involve in the work of the Lord all around the world. Amen. Lord, help us to be missions-minded. Help us to obey the Great Commission. in these days, that commission that was given by the Lord to those disciples is just as important or even more so today than ever. And all of us have been called to this. Every one of us have been called to this great commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word literally means the authority to get the job done has been given to us through the resurrected Jesus. And that's why that all through the book of Acts, the preaching was always, if it was Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, and all throughout the various messages that are recorded there in the book of Acts, it's always they're preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. That was the power and the authority that they had to proclaim the gospel to a people that desperately needed to be saved. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, make us mission-minded. Help us to be missions-minded. This month, Lord, do a work in us. Help us, Lord, to get our minds off of petty things, things that are not all that important. Help us to get out of our little world that we live in and to expand it into thinking about the needs of the world. Let the news reports, instead of, I don't know about you, but I get weary with them. But let those news reports of what's happening in different places around the world, let it be a reminder to you. I need to pray for that country. I need to pray for China. I need to pray for Iran. I need to pray for Israel. I need to pray for all these nations of the world. Amen. Praise God. Lord, make us missions minded. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray that this month of April, you would stir our hearts and help us to look for ways that we can involve ourselves to a greater degree in the work of missions globally, all around the world. Use us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts to the great need. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you all tonight.